Right? It's Christmas. I got my red sweater on. Any red sweaters out there? Thank you. No, it's a t-shirt, but good enough. Yeah. Would you like to come up and join me? No, I know you don't want to. Okay. It's Christmas, so it's time for parties. I don't know if you guys have any parties planned, but we're kicking off our first one in the church. I think it is anyhow, unless you've already done one that I didn't know about. Please let me know if you're having a party. But anyhow, we're having a party tomorrow, 55 plus, and we have Tina, our award-winning teacher, is going to come and bring some students to sing. We're going to do some Christmas carols. We're going to do all this kind of stuff. We're going to get grouped together. I know the tables are going to look awesome like they always do. We'll have fun. James DeGrief is coming to speak. I'm saying all this to you to let you know that it's time to have a party. Right? It is time to celebrate. And I know not everybody celebrates at Christmas. Some people it's hard for them. But can I suggest to you to figure out a way to have a party? Invite some people to a party, whether it's one of the groups that we have at a church or if it's just something you're going to do with friends. Do a party. And when you do it, don't try to be over religious, but just let Jesus shine through you. Because if he's in your heart, he will naturally do that. Get some games out. Get to know some people. This is a great season for that. Don't be afraid of it. And don't try to outdo yourself. We do that too much. I mean, you don't know how much time I spend cleaning my house before you come to my place. It's ridiculous. Don't do that. Let people come in and just do a little bit. And just have fun. Let them see who you really are. That's scary, right? Have a party. I think I said that enough. It's Christmas. So we're starting off our theme, and it's Journey to Hope. Oh, that's not our theme. Light the Way Home is the corner. That's my message, Journey to Hope. Light the Way Home. And I know that as you invite people to a party, a simple party, or to a service or something like that, whatever, the light within you will help people to find the way home. We need to find the way home, guys. And we're a little distracted by a lot of things at Christmas, right? We get running around a little bit, whether it's to get ready for Christmas or to get ready for your exams or to get ready for relatives coming. I don't know what it is. Maybe get some stuff done that you didn't get done and you needed to. Maybe, I don't know, a variety of things. It's all coming to your mind now. Sorry about that. Put it out of your mind again. But all that stuff, we need to clear that stuff away so that we can come back to our home, right? And that is, come to the light where Christ is. So, as we go through that theme, we're going to do our Advent candle. So we started with, what are we doing today? Hope, right? We started with hope. That's what I'm preaching on. I should know that. We started with hope. And the next one next week is peace. And then we have joy, which is the pink candle. That'd be cool to lighten that one. And then love. And then we have Christmas Eve, which, by the way, is a party. And we have two services, one at 4:30. No, I'm like a big advertisement. It's at 4:30 and 6 o'clock. And the first one at 4:30 is going to be sort of more like family, right? A little noisy. Come and expect some stuff happening. And then the second one, it'd be more maybe traditional, a little candle lighting and stuff like that. It'd be fun as well. So I know now you want to come to both, right? Go for it. We need space. So pick one and invite your friends to one and then bring the other, you know, whatever. Just come. It'll be fun. So do a party. At least you can invite someone to that too. Even if you don't have the ability somehow to do a party where you are, maybe you tell a friend you want to use their house. That's another good idea. Then they have to clean their house and you can go there and you can do a party there. Right? Okay, so Advent. We're going to do all of that. And our theme this morning is hope. And so I'm going to read from the Bible in Matthew chapter 2, and it has a good story there about the Magi. And this isn't maybe exactly what the visual will be like, but possibly something like that. Magi guys, who knows, right? But something like that, and not necessarily three of them, but we like three. The number three is good. It's a trinity and all that kind of stuff. So Matthew 2, verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So these guys, have you heard this story before? Anybody heard this story before? Okay, I'll have to stop. No, okay, I'll finish it here. So when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, all the, you know, the respected, highly exalted people, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. They've been waiting for this for a long time, come now long expected Jesus. And in verse 6 it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by
are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you, little Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So awesome. In verse 7, then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. He was curious for devious reasons. And in verse 8 it says, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. Not likely. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, and went up until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And I don't know if we can capture that word. I'm sure there's so much more to that word than overjoyed. But they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gold, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, like King Herod asked, they returned to their country by another route. Great story. Love it. So, this morning we're going to look at that story just a little bit. I'm going to put it down here for now. But what I want to ask you, if you can kind of collaborate with me, sort of have fun with me a little bit here, we're going to talk about hope. And I have my own list here because I've had a couple hours maybe to work on it. And so I've got some things written down. But if you, let's say you were able to go up to somebody and you were to ask them, what represented hope to them? What would give them hope? Maybe what needs need to be provided, but what would give them hope? So what is something that gives somebody hope? Anybody?
Tomorrow. Can you,
sorry?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. Having a tomorrow. Yeah. Anybody else?
Gratitude.
Gratitude? That's awesome, right? To be appreciated. Anybody else?
Faith.
Faith. Yeah. Well, thanks, Bonnie. Encouragement. Yeah, it makes a huge difference, right, Stephen? Yeah. Belief? Belief?
Belief.
Yeah. Oh boy. Sometimes I know what you're saying, Linda. We just, yeah, belief. Anybody else?
Community.
Community, yeah. Aren't we in need of community? I mean, no, good health. Good health. Yes. Good health.
Smile.
Joy. Joy? Sorry?
Yeah, with a smile.
With a smile. Real joy. Yeah. Inner joy that can even, yeah, let's leave it there. Anybody else?
The Holy Spirit,
yeah. And if I had you explain that, it would be really interesting to hear. Anybody else?
Family.
Family, right? I told my parents not to move, but they did. If you don't know what I'm talking about, they left me and went to Cambridge from here. I cannot believe that, but anyhow. And when they went to get their snow tires, I told them, you deserve that. But no, that's really horrible, right? I just twisted that so bad. It's good to be with family. Yes. Anybody else? Something? Sorry? Oh, I thought someone said something. Okay, so I have a list, because I had time to work on it, right? So here's my list. A hug. That's kind of like encouragement. A hug. Because I don't mind hugs. Some people, they're like, don't hug me. So that wouldn't work for you. But you have to know a person to know how to know what they need, right? Okay, so you have to actually take time to do that. Food, maybe a meal. And we're thinking, let's think about people around the world, anybody. So maybe someone just needs a place to sleep, right? Maybe they need a bed. Simple as that. And maybe that's something that they've been praying for or hoping for, and this gives them more hope now. Now they have hope that they actually have tomorrow or future. All right, all you students, possibly a good mark in your next exam. I prayed for that all the time. My prayers rarely got answered. As a matter of fact, I don't remember a moment when they got answered. But, you know, that's okay. God can answer those prayers too. I actually prayed that the exam would be canceled and maybe that the day would be canceled or the week, that year. No, anyhow, let's not go too far. Okay. So school. School's a challenging one. Maybe you're in the choir and you're having a hard time with your voice. God, can you just let me hit those soprano notes so I can be with them? You know, that kind of stuff. There's very simple things. And I'm talking about everyday things because we forget about the everyday things that actually give us hope. Right? They make us feel a little bit better about ourselves. It's a weird thing, hope. It's hard to grasp how we get it, where it comes from. But I believe a lot of it has to do with the needs, the neediness of ourselves. And when it's met, it gives us hope that maybe there's a future for us. Perhaps it's being heard. Someone hears you, right? They hear your voice. Am I speaking to myself here? You know, like, does anybody know what I'm going through? How about if you're in a land where you can't see? You just need a pair of glasses. You pray about, you ask, you get glasses, and there's like a new hope within the person, right? There's hope. I can do something different. I can actually see now. I can do the things I want. I can go to school now. And how about that? We know there's people in different parts of the world that they can't go to school. It's not an option because they don't have the money to do it. And so, wow, a gift of money to go to school. What kind of hope is that, right? Surgery. I know people who are waiting for surgery, and they're praying that that comes. And what if that surgery comes? It's like a huge boost of hope, right? That we can say, okay, maybe I can get this done. This week, I was celebrating with someone because they had a surgery come up before Christmas, which was what they were waiting for, and we were all so excited. Like, we're just, yeah, that's awesome. Wow. We got hope all of a sudden, right? It's renewed within us. And if it's directed to the right place, wow, it becomes fulfilling. It just gives us energy, right? You ever had that? It's not just coffee, it's something else. You know, God just did something in me, and he gave me new life. That's so exciting. Hope can do that. A healing. Don't you ever pray for healing? We talked about physical health. If God was to heal somebody, doesn't that renew hope? I, as myself, having children, Nick's here, unfortunately. Sorry, Nick, I have to center you out here. Enough. But anyhow, I have four children, and it's so good to know when God is working in their lives. And it doesn't mean they have to bottleneck and be a certain person for me. No, it's not like that. It's just discovering that God is taking care of them wherever they are. And it just gives me hope that there's a future, not just for me, but for my family. How about this one? Here's a huge one. I got a message for you. Death is defeated, right? Do we need hope? In our church, we've lost people just recently, and it's heartbreaking. But we know death is defeated, and they're with Jesus. That gives me hope. I don't know about you, but it gives me hope because I know other people who are not well. And I think about them often. And I wonder, God, how long will they be with me? Well, I don't know, and that breaks my heart, but I do have hope. I need hope renewed. I'm on a journey to hope. We're all on a journey to hope. And it's funny the things that spark hope within us. It's surprising along the way. How about a three-point shot? I wish I could just pump maybe seven of them in a row in a game, just like that. Three-point shots, right? It's ridiculous, and yet it's not. It all of a sudden just makes us think differently about ourselves and who we are and what maybe we potentially could do. What does God grant us with, right? I don't know. Like, what is your realm? Where's your world? What are the things that you're hoping for? And some of you may be ashamed about, embarrassed about, but don't be. Do not be. Because let God work in your heart. Let him bring the things he wants to you. Don't lose hope. Because we know people that have lost hope. And maybe the gift this Christmas is just simply to have hope again. Well, that'd be a good thing, right? Because we know there are many in our midst, even today, that have just lost hope. We've lost hope. And we're looking for direction. How's God going to show up? How is his light going to shine? Is it going to be through this community? Is it going to be at work? Where is it going to be? Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is here. He's a light, and he's showing you the way home. He wants to bring you home. And I'm not talking about death here. I'm talking about him working with you here on this earth to produce hope. One last one. You ever feel like you're invisible? Like you're not seen? Nobody sees you? I want to be seen. I want to be seen. I want to know that people actually see me and they care for me. You know, kind of like, I know it's with God it's quite different because God sees us and he sees right through all of us and he still just loves us. Like he takes us where we are. But I want to be seen by people too. I want to be seen by people around me. I want people to know who I am so they can know what it takes for me to enjoy life, what it takes for me to receive hope. And guys, that's okay. We can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. We can go around and we have to allow God to open our eyes to the people around us so that we can be a part of this sharing the hope. Because let's face it, the light is in us, as we said about the parties. And Christ is in us. And he will speak through us to people if we allow him to. Get rid of the distractions. Christmas is really distracting. It's very distracting. I'm thinking about what I could get. I'm thinking about my gifts and what I'm going to get. And that's distracting. Because then I forget about the people around me. I forget about who they are. Or I'm thinking about the perfect gift I can buy. Meanwhile, I'm not even looking at the person I'm buying it for. I'm not even recognizing who they are or what they really need. Right? What do the people around us really need? Probably not another gift. We live in a land of consumerism, and we have everything we need, and they know what we want, and they provide it, and they provide even more, or at least they tell us what we want, and then we go buy it, right? So we live in that kind of world, and we think that as we provide for ourselves those needs, then we're going to feel better, and we'll have hope in our hearts. Now, I'm not here this morning to crash all of buying gifts. Trust me, I love them. But here's the thing. The gifts just can't be your hope. That's the thing. They can be things on the side, and they can be fun, and we can treat them that way. But if they become our hope, we know what happens, because I know my car, it doesn't work all the time. And it doesn't fulfill my hope. It does not. And your body, even in fact, will not fulfill your hope. We work in so many different ways to build ourselves up. And yet, really, the key is Christ. The other things are great. Let's use them. Let's allow us to be a part of that. Don't feel guilty. Go through that, all that stuff, and enjoy giving to one another and receiving from one another. But ultimately, on your journey to hope, remember, Christ is the key. Jesus is the key. He's at the center. That's why we have him at the center of the candles. Let's go to the Magi for a while here. So they're on a journey, and I like to liken them to people in Victoria, or Oak Bay particularly, but let's just go with Victoria, because I don't want to be prejudiced. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I said that. Anyhow, Victoria. So in Victoria, we're just well-to-do, right? I know we may bellyache about taxes and about the cost of living and our houses and all that kind of stuff, but we do have a lot of money because we live here. Guys, we do. I don't care where you're at. We have a lot of money. We're really blessed. And so we're in a great place. And so we're kind of like the Magi. We have lots. And if we wanted to go on a journey like these guys, we could. We booked the flights, right? We booked the hotels. We would figure out what it's going to take to get there, maybe visit some relatives along the way, and follow that star. We'd follow that star. We'd figure out a way. If it took a ferry, or if it took a flight, or if it took a train, or if it took whatever it takes, we could plan it. We could be diligent, and that's what these wise guys were. They were diligent. We don't know what they were. Were they kings? Were they teachers? Were they rabbis? Were they whatever? We don't know that. But we do know that they were diligent, and they were wealthy. They could do it. They could make a plan. They could take a whole community with them. They could move around for 2 years of their life because they believed something was that important to do it. Oh, and you wonder why they did that? Why were these wise guys so determined to go find this Jesus? Well, funny thing, in history, when the Israelites were defeated and their temple burnt down, they were scattered, and they had to find, and as a result, one of the places that Daniel was in Babylon, and I guess the truth will be spread. And these guys were diligent searchers of truth. And so they took in all truth, and they discovered that there was this truth about a Messiah that was coming. So this was part of all their plans and looking at all these astrological things, finding these stars and figuring out how they all come together in order to find something, because they were diligent seekers of truth. So are we diligent seekers of truth? No, we're a little distracted, aren't we? I know I am, and we're all over the map. We're looking at this, looking at that. We're taking care of ourselves. We're wondering if anybody sees me. Am I important enough? Do I look good enough? Am I wearing my red sweater for Christmas? All this kind of stuff. And then also we remember, oh, wait a minute. I got to be seeking Christ. I got to be diligent seeker of truth. The wise men show us a good way to do that. Plan. What does your life look like? Does it look different if you know you're searching for Christ and Christ alone? And you're saying to me, well, I am a Christian already, maybe, and so I already found Christ. Well, you've just begun, let me tell you. You have just begun your journey. And it's going to be an awesome journey, not always easy. We know that, challenging for sure. But you need to continue to be diligent, continue to seek truth, continue to find Christ in all situations that you walk in, just like these guys were doing. And so they did it. They planned it. They were diligent. They figured it all out. They mapped it all out. They hired all sorts of people, and maybe they were on camels, I don't know. But they traveled, and it was a long ways to go. And that journey was not easy. They continued to follow the stars. I guess they mapped it out so they could follow at the right times. Maybe they slept in the day and one at night. I don't know how they did it. But they made it. And eventually they showed up at Herod's place. Part of their journey was to go to Herod's place. Now, why did they go to Herod's place? I mean, come on. Isn't Herod the guy that's trying to kill Jesus? Don't they have any idea who Herod is? The guy is, he's crazy. He's crazy. The people and the family members that he's killed, and he's paranoid. He's got issues. Well, they didn't. They were diligent seekers of truth. They didn't know that. Listen to me. When these guys, get a little emotional, but when these guys were searching for Jesus, we may think, oh, it's just all these astrological things. They're just kind of, it's part of the job. It's who they are. No, listen. They set aside 2 years of their life and spent a lot of money to find Jesus the Messiah who was going to rule the world. That's what they knew. And they believed it. And the signs were all aligned. And they're ready to do it. They're ready to go find Jesus. Nothing was going to stop them. So they're not going to go to Herod and say, oh, Jesus is in Bethlehem, go kill him. That's not what they were going to do. It's okay. It's all cool. It's like a musical background. But they're not going to do that with Herod. They're not sending Herod to kill Jesus. That's not it at all. They're actually curious. Where's Jesus? You know, do you know where this king is that's being born? They said those words, right? Because they're trying to find him. And then Herod kind of tries to play them into his hands and says, no, but you go find him, because obviously you know more than I do. Go find him, and when you find him, come back. And guys, they look for 2 years. Guess who found Jesus first? Who found Jesus first? Anybody know? Who came to Jesus first? Who did God send the angels to sing to come to see Jesus? The shepherds, not the wise men, not the Victorians, but actually the shepherds who were down and out, marginalized, left to the side, on their own. Jesus sent the holy choir to them, and they came to see Jesus, right? Wasn't that an awesome story? And then 2 years later, the smart guys come and they found Jesus, right? They found him. We're like that too. We're pretty slow, and we're too distracted. We're doing all our own things. We got to find Jesus now. Let's be diligent. Let's find Jesus now. If you haven't found Jesus personally as your Savior, do it today. Ask him to come into your heart. I'll help you with that. There'll be other people that would like to do that. He's the one that's going to give us hope. On your journey to hope. They were on their journey to hope. They actually were searching for something that was going to make a difference for them. And then they found him, right? They left Herod. They went and they found Jesus. And what does it say they did? They were overjoyed. I don't know what that word would mean, so much more than overjoyed. And they fell down and they worshipped him. I like to think that when these guys found Jesus, they were looking for this king, but all of a sudden they found themselves on their knees and they're worshipping this king. And they don't even know who he is, right? They're like overwhelmed. Did I just do that? Did I worship like that? What happened to me? And I think Jesus can do that to you too. When you're on your journey and then you come face to face with Jesus, something happens in your heart and your soul. He gives you hope. And the next thing you know, you're on your knees, surrendered to Christ. Because he creates something completely new in you. Completely new. That's his work. He wants to create something completely new in our hearts. Don't you want that this Christmas? We desperately need that. And I know, just like the story that this is referring to, it was messy. It was disgusting. Many people died, and yet there was still hope. It's like the setting didn't change that much, but the hearts did. The people all of a sudden had hope and ability to see that there was a Savior, a Messiah, and again, we're going to wait. And it's not the Messiah I thought it was going to be. Wow, he's in a stable, and shepherds went to see him. What is going on here? And a lot of people wouldn't even know he was there, right? But it started. The hope started, and these shepherds left there, right? Remember the story? They left, and they're just telling everybody. So like about those guys, right? The wise guys, they're kind of just walking around probably contemplating it and reading their books. But the shepherds, no, they're out there letting everybody know. Let's be shepherds, and then let's also be wise men, because both are needed. We need people just to go out excited and celebrate it all. We need to use our mind, too, and share the truth in a diligent and clear way. Interesting. I like the fact that these guys were diligent, and also that they were willing. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to take this journey? Because it's not easy. It's not easy. You know what? When Herod sent these guys to see Jesus, it was 2 years already, and now he's a toddler. They're seeing Jesus. Herod was really angry because they didn't come back, so his only resolution was to say, well, we're going to have to kill everybody, every boy that's 2 and under, because that'll cover sort of the area. That's what he did. He's nuts. That's what Jesus was born into. You think that's hope? Go figure it out, right? Well, put that in your setting now. I don't know what you're going through and what life's like and the types of things that really overwhelm you and you wonder if there's ever any hope. That's the kind of setting where Jesus wants to come to. That's exactly it. Let him come to it, right? And it may not even change your setting, but he will give you hope. And it can be in small things, or it can be in big things. Our journey to hope is horrible sometimes, but Jesus is there for us. And it's not the way we expect. Can I say that? It's not the way we expect it. It's different. And in fact, it's better. It's much better. Much better. Much better. So they returned and they didn't go to Herod. And I love the other part of it is that God told them not to go to Herod, right? So on your journey, as you find Jesus, he'll direct your path. That's what I take from that. He'll show you. He'll protect you. He wants to guard your heart. He wants to guard your heart as you're going through life. And there's a lot of things that are very challenging, but he wants to help you. So let's be sensitive to that. Let's let him lead us as we come to see Jesus. Diligently, we willingly sacrifice. Then let's just follow him as he leads, as he says, no, not that way, over here. And then, well, why not? Well, no, go over here. And I know he's saying, I don't usually hear that kind of stuff. Well, then, however God's going to lead you, you just have to trust him to do it as you embrace that relationship you have with him. And that's a Magi story. That's their journey. But our journey can be quite different and yet very similar. So I trust that as you go on this journey to Christ, that you allow him to direct you. This is the beginning of the Christmas season, so I love starting on this message because it reminds us of where our priorities need to be. And again, like I say, I'm not the Grinch. I'm not here to crash parties and presents. Actually, I love it. Let's do it. But let's do it with Christ in our hearts. Let's let him direct it. Let's let him take control of it. So that actually can be very inspiring to people, life-giving. Nothing wrong with that stuff. That's really good. And don't we need that? I know I desperately need that. And interesting enough, I want to remind you one thing before we pray is that in this sort of community, this city that we live in, this culture that we live in, the culture is not really kingdom orientated, as it were. You may not know what I mean by that, but Jesus, when he came to earth, he said, I'm setting up a new kingdom, brand new kingdom. And why don't you join me? Because I want to give hope to the nations. I want to give hope to the people. I want to give hope to Victoria. I want to give hope to all peoples, not just peoples who have jobs, not just people who are able to take care of themselves. I actually want to give hope to the marginalized. I want to go out there and I want to meet them. And I don't want you to change them, really. I don't want you to expect that you have to make them look good or speak well or look, you know, just have it set up so they can come in here and be great. Actually, no, I just want you to meet them like they are, right? Yeah, that's what Jesus came to do. He did that. That's what he said. That was his first. The shepherds were first, and they just went from there continually, the people who were on the side, and he brought them in. So as we are on our journey to hope, let's help other people that are on their journey to hope, and let's not necessarily maybe choose who we would first choose. Let's let God move us to the people that we need to. And I don't know who that's going to be for you, but do it, and allow him to do his work through you. So you have to be then diligent and intentional. Then you have to be willing. And then you have to follow his lead. How else are we going to do it? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the version of hope that you have for us that is actually so much more inspiring and life-changing. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creations when we come into Christ. If Christ is in our hearts, he makes us brand new. The old is gone, the new has come. Give us that gift this Christmas, God. Take away the junk. We continually have to get the distractions gone and the weaknesses and all of the things that we struggle with. And God, make us new and give us hope. And not only that, but hope bearers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The God who can do far more than we ever dreamed of or imagined, and who is active right now in our hearts, To that God we give all glory, honor, majesty, and power, both now and forevermore. He's eternal, guys. Forevermore, from this from generation to generation. And God, please, from our generation, from our church, from our community, may we bring glory to you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day. Enjoy whatever happens out there.